Years ago, there was this kid from the rural areas of Kansas who caught a fire and a heart for the Lord, and gave up just about everything he had to move to the city to live in his car off and on in some Yankee house in the hood so that young men in brokenness in families would know Jesus. And that young man who gave up everything, partnered with Keith Phillips in the early days, began World Impact. Wichita has become a spiritual father to just multitudes and generations of men. And his wonderful wife, Ruth, is here this morning. We love them. They have two beautiful daughters. One of them is marrying an Ince boy here pretty soon. So that whole World Impact connection is going strong. And so he's one of the most spiritual, powerful men of God we know. Has been battling through cancer the last couple of years. Believe that the Lord has put healing on him, which is an amazing testimony. He got a Mexico healing. Some brothers prayed for him when he was down in Guadalajara, right? And he feel like he's been healed ever since. And so we love that. And so this morning we just want to welcome and listen and sit under the feet of Al Ewert this morning.
Hello, hello, hello. Well, thank you, Rob. And that was a powerful moment there. We all been watching the news, and I know all of our hearts have been stirred by what we've been watching. Well, it's great to be here this morning. Just wonderful. We had three different reasons. The first was I just got some really good friends here. A lot of you folk I haven't met, but there's friends of many years now. And so all week long, I was looking forward to come walking down the steps, thinking who I was going to see, and it's just very special to be with friends in the kingdom of God and in a church that knows how to serve. And so the second reason is I wanted to thank you all. Those of you that went down to Dallas some weeks ago. And the stories have been powerful about how God used that missions trip. The ones that came to Christ. I wish you all could have heard. We had a special time at Lighthouse where Ruth and I attend. And some of those that went on the trip were sharing about the experiences. And the one thing that they said so strongly was the relationship with his church, the fellowship, the unity of the team, what God did, and God used your church to minister to our people in a very, very powerful way. Now, the third reason is Ruth and I get to celebrate our anniversary with you today. It was 23 years ago, about right at this time, we were up at a camp in the mountains, and that's where we were married. Now, I was an old guy already at that time. I'd started directing the work here in Wichita many, many years ago. At that time, I was overseeing the ministry around the country. I was traveling a lot, and I hadn't taken anybody out for 18 years. 18 years! And Austin had figured out it didn't work to date and be in leadership. Just didn't work. And so one day I prayed and I said, okay, God, here's the deal. I'll be single the rest of my life unless you have a plan. And if you have a plan, you need to put someone in front of me that I would know this is a person I'm going to marry before I ever took her out. I don't know how that would happen. But until that day, I'll stay single if that's for the rest of my life. Well, I went to L.A., moved there for a period of years, and I took the 200-foot fall over Ruth. And nobody knew what was going on. I didn't tell anybody. And, you know, I just waited month after month and would pray. I started doing crazy things, like she was teaching third grade in the school, and Ruth was very predictable. Within 5 minutes each day, she would pull into the parking lot in her white car, I would go stand in the restroom on the second floor and look out and watch her. Started doing strange things. Had this, I just picked it up this morning. This is a brochure that I've kept from 35 years ago or so. And there's Ruth. And there's Don Davis. And he was about 30 years older, younger. And I'd fly across the country, be in the plane. I'd just hold this brochure on my lap and look at it. And then came the day when I told her what was going on in my heart. And I said, "Do you have any interest?" And she went, and I knew me. She was my wife. So 23 years ago, I stood there and I watched her walk up that aisle. And I said, "I am hers. She is mine. And this is for life." And so, Ruthie, I want to thank you for saying yes. And those of you that know me know I needed a Ruth. It's been a great blessing. She's a wonderful woman of prayer. A lot of times I've thought, I wonder how many of the things that God's doing come as a result of her prayers for our daughters, for my ministry, and for the kingdom of God. So I just want to sing it this morning. Ruth, I love you from the Lord. Now, to the message. I'll tell you a little story. When I was in ninth grade, I was in a small town, and I signed up. You know, until you're in eighth grade, you get told what you're taking. Ninth grade, big time, you can decide what one or two courses you're going to take. And I signed up for German 101. Now, I had no desire to speak German. Grew up in a German community. The only reason I took that class, because I was one of those guys, I was not a good student. And so all you kids, shut your ears right now. I didn't study till my last year in college. But I had a lot of fun up till that time. But I had 1 year I studied. But in ninth grade, I didn't. So I signed up for this class because it was an easy one. So there were two-thirds boys in that class, one-third girls. And we had a teacher who long ago went to be with the Lord. She was an older lady, single. I can't even remember her last name. We called her Lizzie. Now, that doesn't sound real good, does it? Right off from the start. But that's what we called her. And in this class, when she turned her back, there were more things flying across the room than you could imagine. At Christmas time, she would we'd sing these German songs. You know, that's a German community where I grew up in Hillsboro. My folks spoke German before they spoke English. And so we'd sing these songs, and those guys would, we'd make up these words to the songs. I still hear some of those songs, and I'll start laughing at the words we made up that we'd be singing. And one day, I can't remember, this is, my lands, this is 50 years ago almost. And so I can't remember the exact words, but I remember the feeling that I had. And she said something like this when the class was just absolutely out of control. She said, "Is anyone listening to me?" And I remember feeling a sadness, a momentary sadness. And then I probably kicked back into gear. But I felt sad for that out-of-control class where nobody was listening. Now compare that with this. A pilot on an airplane all of a sudden comes on the intercom and says, "We've lost all our power. We're going down. But there's an area, it's not an airfield, but there's an area, I think there's a good chance I can land the plane. I'm going to do everything I can. Now, we're going to be down in just a couple minutes. So I need you to listen very carefully to what the flight attendants tell you, that we give you every chance we can to make it. Would you please listen? Two very contrasting ways to listen. I wonder if God is ever saying, is anyone listening to me? Is anyone really listening? We know. I know for all of us as believers, we know that listening to God is 100, a jillion times more important than listening to that pilot. I heard, you've all heard these similar statistics, that we remember about 5% of what we hear. So in this message, that's maybe worth about 3 minutes of what you would remember. That's not very encouraging if you spend a bunch of time preparing a message. But I want to try to bring it up to 50%. And all you got to do is remember one word. All you got to do is remember one word. And then I think you'll remember a few of the points, maybe. And I pray that this might be something that speaks to our hearts as well. So the word, you probably figured out. Listen. That's my whole message. Listen. Can we say that together? Listen. You maybe even have a better chance of remembering if we say it a second time. Listen. Listen is what the word is. So are we listening to God? Or are we listening to everything around us? No, the first question is, does God want to speak to us? If someone's really honest out there might be somebody saying, God really wants to say something to me? Those of us who know the Bible stories, we remember the story of Samuel with Eli as a little boy. He wakes up, he thinks he hears Eli saying something to him. He goes to him, goes back, and so on. Finally, little Samuel says to God, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Speak, your servant is listening. Now, do you think today God could possibly be saying that to us? That he's saying, speak. We're listening. I think he does. In fact, I know he does. I'm convinced of it. God wants to speak to us today. But there's a few questions that follow. Do I want to listen to what he says? And then the second part of that is, do I want to do what he says? Do I really want to hear what he has to say to me? I mean, really hear. Not peripheral, not the things I like to hear. But do I really want to hear what he wants to say into my heart? And then when he says it, am I ready to say, I'm going to do it? Whatever he says. And we're not going to do a show and tell here. But you might already ask yourself that question. Do I want to hear God? And am I ready to do 100% everything, no matter what it costs? I'm ready to do what he says. Now, I'd like to leave you with one verse today. One verse. One word. Listen. One verse. Even though there'll be some other verses. But one verse. If you've never memorized this verse, which I just did in the last 2 weeks, I've heard messages on this verse. I don't know if I've ever preached on it. But there's one verse. It's a very powerful verse. We know the story of the Israelites, how they wandered, how they obeyed, disobeyed. They'd come back. They'd go off. They'd do crazy things. Kings would be raised up. They'd be punished, good kings, bad kings. And there's, in the middle there, Isaiah. Here's a verse that was said to them that we can apply to our lives. Isaiah 30:21. Whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in. Whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Okay, whether you turn to the right or the left. You know what that says to me? In all times. I think that's God's way of saying in everything. Whether to the right or to the left. Doesn't matter. It's all inclusive. At every juncture in your life, God is ready to speak. And it says your ears will hear. Well, how do we hear? Well, my guess is almost everybody here would say, for sure the Word of God. Joshua 1:8 is true. This book of the law will not depart from thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate on it. How often? Day and night. Day and night. Then you might observe everything he's commanded, and then, which means you can obey, and then you'll be prosperous and have good success. I don't trust anything anybody would say that I think God wants me to do this unless it's rooted somehow in the Word of God. And unless, I believe this is true, unless it's day and night, unless we're all the time thinking about the Scripture, it's on our minds, we're memorizing it, we're not going to hear God's voice. We're just not. So the Word, obviously prayer. We know many verses on prayer. John 16:24 comes to my mind. Hitherto if you've asked nothing in my name, ask and you will receive, that your joy may be made complete. Through prayer we hear. And then there's something that's very powerful. That's a spontaneous nudgings of the Holy Spirit, where he guides us. We're not just carried by circumstances. He guides us through his Holy Spirit. Divine things take place. The proddings of the Holy Spirit. We know we've heard from God. An opportunity comes. I could tell you story after story where I've watched this in other people's lives and my own life. Is it possible that we could live that way all the time? Or is it just every once in a while we turn that dial on? Or could we all the time be in communion with God, listening to him? That verse goes on. So whether you turn to the right, your ears will hear, this is the way. There is, in fact, a right way. Every decision. There is a right decision. Doesn't mean we're going to make it, but there is a right decision. There is one. For whatever, how many decisions do we represent today here? Some big ones on people's minds. I'm sure there are some huge ones. And maybe some not so big ones. But there's decisions. Every one of them. God has a way for us. And then the fourth part of that verse, walk in it. And that's a tough part. Walk in it. One of many options. You think about it. What God says to us, two, what others say to us. I like to hear what other people have to say. We always do. And then three, what I desire. But God isn't about multiple choices. He is, because we can... He gives us free will. There's three choices, but there's only one right one. His way, the right way. Now, that's a whole message. But I want to share something. I want to share a story, a something from these last couple of weeks that God's been doing in my heart. And I say this not in any way, I hope, not in any way. I'd like to pray that, not in any way. There's any attention focused to me. Rather, something that might give greater inspiration to all of us that we would say, I want to hear from God. Now, here's a little background to the story. A few weeks ago, Ruthie and I were in Mexico, Guadalajara, where Pastor Rob was talking about. We in that city now, there's 140 TUMI students within 4 hours away. It all started through Pastor Miguel, who was a former big-time gang leader, big drug dealer, had stabbed a guy, had to get out of Dodge, found Christ, came back with his girlfriend, kids, found Christ in a very dramatic way. Went to this little church, pastor leaves and says, you're the pastor. Almost no training. And I don't want to take the time to tell you a story, but that's where we started a TUMI site. And I was there for the very first class that was taught, 14 students sitting there, and I'm thinking, man, this can work here. This can work anywhere in the world. And they wanted me to say something. I don't speak Spanish. And so I said, you know, this is pretty cool. And whenever the graduation happens, I want to be there. I went. Pastor Miguel graduating with his students. Then it kept growing. We brought work crews. And so a handful of weeks ago was another graduation. 22 students this time. Dr. Don Davis was there. This was a big deal. First time he'd been there. And these folk, I mean, we had a pastor's banquet where we had 50-plus pastors, their wives. We had a seminar the next morning where hundreds of students heard Don, and then the graduation. I mean, it was cap and gown. People were shaking. They were ready to come in. They said, this is a bigger deal than my wedding. You know, walking in on a red carpet into this church pomp and circumstance, blaring. And I mean, it was incredible. Don was alive. He's preached here, right? I mean, many of you have heard him. I mean, he was alive. And there was an interpreter. I'm telling you a story. This leads up to what happened 2 weeks ago. The interpreter, this is just a side part of it, of that whole weekend. This guy's name's Ken. He was a fill-in interpreter. Main guy couldn't come. He filled in. 6'4", 280 pounds. That's a big person in that part of the world. And Don would preach, and he'd just go, boom. And this guy had standing behind him, towering over him, exact motions, and Don was just passionately speaking. And so after the seminar, someone said, you need to talk to Ken and hear his story. So I got Ruthie, and went up to him and said, would you tell us your story? Well, it turns out he was, when he was 16, a big drug dealer who figured out a way to get drugs between Mexico and San Diego. And he started working for the cartels, moving up that ladder. He had a $300 a day heroin habit. Then he ended up in prison for 17 years, and he would cut a hole in Bibles, fill them with drugs, and that's how he moved drugs around the prison for 17 years. And then a powerful conversion. And he went through a Christian rehab program in San Diego. I said, what are you doing now? He's church of 50, hour and a half away. The cartels dropped the drugs off about a half block from his church. Little congregation, very poor. And I said, how does your church make it financially? He makes pies and sells them. I get that picture. And he gave Don Davis a pie. So the last night, right before we left, we ate apple pie thinking about what God had done. So I come back from Mexico. My heart is just stirred. And I'm thinking about, what does God have? And I'm at this point, at this age, trying to figure out where my time is going to be spent. So here's what happened. This is all leading up to the main point. Sorry for taking so long. But this one day, I said, I just have to hear from God. I just need to hear from God. And so I drove out to this lake, got very early, still dark. It was dark for quite a while. Sat at this lake, a place where Ruth and I had been many times. The girls, we took kids in our ministry skiing there and so on. So it has good memories. I sat there in my car. And I said, God, I can't tell you when to speak to me. That's not up to me. But I need to hear from you. I just need to hear from you. I can't tell you I need to hear today. Just, I need to hear. And he said, so here's what I'm going to do. I think my sins are confessed. I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to memorize my verses. I'm going to pray. And if you have something you want to say to me, then you say it. The lectionary reading during that time, one of the Psalms was Psalm 65. And one of the things I was trying to figure out is, what's my part in the other countries where we're expanding? Ruthie and I were in Cuba in January. We're going to be getting Toomey going there. And doors are opening up all over the place. Now, how do I balance that out? That's what I was trying to hear from God on. So I'm reading Psalm 65. And I read it over and over and over again. Now, I'm not going to take time to go through it. We're almost out of time here. But you might want to read Psalm 65 today. It's a rich psalm talking about praise, prayer, God giving comfort in the when the roaring seas are there, and just on and on, just wonderful truths. Verse 5, this is what it says. O God, our Savior, the hope of all the ends of the earth and of the furthest seas. So I'm thinking, ends of the world, the furthest seas. My phone, if it's on, which I heard, whoosh, and I turned it off. But when I get an email, it goes, whoosh. So it did that. I'm thinking, wow, that's just, I hadn't turned my phone off. And thought, well, that's one of those advertisements that comes overnight. This is still very early in the morning. All of a sudden, whoosh, another one. And then whoosh. It seemed like it was in 5 minutes. I don't know how. It was a short time. I didn't look at the emails. I just sat there. I'm praying. I'm thinking on verse 5, to the ends of the earth, the furthest seas. And I said, fine, I'm going to look at my emails. The first one was from Romania. And a guy that's been, some of you have been to the Toomey Summit, Colleen, who's translating Toomey into for Romania. He said, Al, would you come to Romania? And he apologized several times. He said, we're doing a Toomey Summit where we're bringing all the students across the country. Would you please come and bring an encouragement? The second one was from India. And the third one was from the Congo. They're saying, could you please bring Don Davis to the Congo? We could get thousands of pastors that would come hear him. And I'm sitting there. My heart started exploding. And I was so moved during that time. Ruthie and I, the next week, we were going to be on vacation. It didn't work out for us to go. I said, I'm going back to that lake every day this week. And I did. Every day. I went out there early and said, whatever I don't get done this week, I'm not going to get done. I just sit there and say, Lord, speak to my heart. And I'm thinking, the richness of that time, why haven't I done more of this in my life? Why have I been so inclined to just be carried by things? So, you know, what is it that hinders us from hearing God? Again, that story is just, that's a personal one, but God's done something in my heart these weeks. I don't know that there's ever been a time where I've wanted to hear from Him more and trusted less what the inclinations are that might come to me. Well, in closing, what are the things that hinder us hearing from God? The first one I got is the closets never get cleaned out. Psalm 139:22 is a verse. I remember sometimes hearing messages on this and saying, I don't want to pray that. If I'm honest, I don't want to pray that prayer. I kind of know what's going to happen. I don't want to pray that prayer. It says, search me, O God, know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. Let me tell you something. If you got something big in a closet, you know, it can be any number of things. It can be somebody that you said, I've never forgiven that person. Never. The way they hurt me, never. A parent, could be anything. I am never going to do it. And so it's in the closet. But meanwhile, God, I'd still like to walk. Can't get to the depth unless that closet is cleaned out. It might be a habit. It might be something that's not yet broken. Something nobody is going to know about. That's buried there. So there's the big things in the closet that God needs to deal with. Purify and heal and renew. And He wants to do that. Secondly, hindrance is clutter. Just clutter. Racing through this life. And this is not in any way. And Lord knows, a single mom who's got kids, who's got to work, and who can't go out to that lake like I did. God understands that. But our lives can get so full of clutter and busyness that we're numb. Say, you know, you're just racing and say, okay, God, you got 10 minutes. Just numb. I've been there many, many times. Many times. I'd be embarrassed if you all knew how often that had been the case with me. And then the third hindrance, I think, is just simple lack of self-care. Luke 9:23, every day, anyone wishes to follow me, let him deny himself. Every day, we should be able to say, we should desire to. This isn't bondage. We should desire and say, Lord, just help me to be crucified to anything of myself. I just lay it on the line, everything. Lord, I just give it to you. Everything. Every day. That's what the Lord wants. What helps? This helps me to think deeply of God's love, His desire to be in communion with me. Now, isn't that strange that God, you could just say words and just stars, and little birds, and elephants, and this God of great power and creation, that he'd want to talk to me and wants to pursue me, wants to have his hand in mine. He loves me. You know, as much as I look forward to coming here this morning, I mean, you think, how would this be if I just thought, you know, God's just aching. He can't wait for me to get up in the morning because he wants to be in fellowship, communion with me. This God pursuing me at that level. That helps me when I think that way, when I believe that, rather than just a God who's rather equal to scales because of how I've been living. Secondly, consistency with him. You know, my grandfather, he died when I was 2 years old. I didn't know, well, I obviously didn't know him when I was growing up. I didn't hear this till I was older. He was an evangelist. He'd get up at 4:30 in the morning, go down in the cellar. In his cellar, I remember going into it, scare the dickens out of me. This dark place that had a big thing where it kept water. You know, it was about this deep. I'd look over and it looked scary to me. Every day he went down there, 4:30 in the morning, come up at 7:30. You know, God's not copying the number of hours, but that consistency. When we have that consistency of coming before the Lord, we hear from him. And that then creates an eagerness. Let me ask you this. Have you experienced going to sleep at night anxious to wake up to be with the Lord? Have you experienced that? That's what daily, that's what God would want for us. We go to sleep, say, good night, God. I can't wait till tomorrow morning. I'm looking forward to being with you tomorrow morning. Can't wait for that. That's what God wants. Could we live at that point? Could we move in that direction? You know, that's what God desires. Something we can look forward to. We're going to have all eternity that way. So we might as well be there now. So my encouragement to you is to listen. Listen to God. Might I say a word? Father, we thank you for your love, your faithfulness, your gracious care. We thank you for the cross, the price that was paid for our sins, that we've been redeemed, that we can indeed have fellowship with you. And Father, we pray, I pray, Lord, if there's anybody here that just feels this is tremendous sense of barrier to having that loving fellowship with you, that you would speak into their hearts. Speak into my heart, Lord. Help us to be men and women who are not men and women of God in name, but men and women of God who walk with you and who hear your voice behind us. This is the way. Walk this way. Go this place. And then, Lord, that we could be raised up to be a community of believers, greatly used of you to bring honor and glory to your name, and then be your hands and feet in this broken world. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Let's give a round of applause this morning to Pastor. Well, I always appreciate Al and his heart. Here's a question. And I think we're going to go into a ministry time and in worship, and we can all get through it and walk out of here like maybe normally. We can end another church service, and just like some of us have been going to church for 20, 30 years, and walk out and have it something that was beneficial to us and And maybe God will work on you this week as you move on and get into your routine and schedule. But here, I always, it's kind of a waste to me on Sunday morning if we would just come together and clock in and clock out. Al's talking about this morning spending time with the living God. You hear that? Spending time with the living God. Now, I know a lot of us beat ourselves up about our devotions time, and we da-da-da-da-da. That is not what this is about. This is the reason why, this has been my prayer lately over the last few weeks as I'm going through this semi-sabbatical time on what it is. It's like, Lord, I don't want to clock in anymore. That's kind of been my prayer over and over again. I don't want to just do what I need to do or don't do and beat myself up. I actually just want to sit in your presence. I want to hear your voice. I want to read your word because I want to read your word. I want to hear from you. I want to meet with you on a daily basis. And if all of us were going to be real today, tell me what the major problem is in your life that can't be met and touched by you being touched and met by the Holy Spirit and the Father and the Son every day. Tell me what obstacle I'm facing or tiredness or whatever you're facing that wouldn't be soothed and healed if we believe in a God that brings soothing and healing. He talks about his rest in the scriptures, about putting his yoke. It doesn't mean we stop working. It means we follow him through the fields. And his yoke is easy. And he brings rest. And so this morning, I just want to give you an invitation. I don't know how to unchurch pastorize this. I just want to give you an invitation this morning to do what Al just talked about. What if we just sat and we got up, worshiped, whatever you feel led to do, you just hold out your hands and you say, Lord, I just want to be with you. I just want to hear. Help me to, maybe some of us need to pray this, I know I do, help me to shut my mouth a little bit and actually hear what you want to say to me. You know my heart, you know my needs, you know my petitions. And cry out like what he just said. I think it's a perfect homework assignment this week for all of us, is ask the Lord, please, plead with him, speak to me. Maybe some of you are in your prayer closets every day and praying, and the Lord just talks to you every time you talk to him, and hallelujah. And maybe there's some of the rest of us who are just, it's been a very long time since we've heard. Or maybe it's never happened. And so the God of the universe wants to meet in the fellowship. Revelation says he stands at the door and knock. If you would just open the door, he would come in and eat in fellowship with you. And so this morning, my question is, if you're willing and ready, if not, if you need to leave, you need to go this morning, fine. But if this stirs your heart a little bit to say, God, I confess, I need to hear from you. Stay and worship. We're going to have prayer team leaders out around the sides and up front this morning. You can come to the cross and go to the altar there or just sit where you are and ask the Lord to speak to you. But I'm going to pray. We're going to worship. And we're going to allow the Holy Spirit to come and just do some ministry this morning if we open our hearts. Amen? Does everybody in this room believe that the Spirit of God is actually here? And where the Spirit of God is, there is freedom? God is here waiting to heal and to touch and empower, equip, and restore. Let's pray. And if you would, humble me. Just humble yourselves and humble myself. If you feel comfortable, just leave your hands out this morning and just kind of ask the Lord if you would. God, we come this morning. Just what Al said was perfect. God's come and speak to us. God, we want to hear your voice. We want to read your word and be touched by your Spirit that you would reveal. And not just, I know there's this whole movement of young people in our generations. God, they just want to hear, feel. We're not talking about getting an emotional high to get an emotional high. Lord, we want to hear from the God of the ages. What is it? Who of us in here has stuff in our closet that needs to be cleaned out? Some of us have been dealing with it for 20 years, these evils that are in our past that the devil has just left staying there, and we've hid it from people, and we don't want to come and confess because we don't want to be embarrassed or we're afraid of what people are going to say. And the point of this is all of those things are mute. Lord, you heal things that are in the light. God, help us to get them out. Help us to declutter, Lord Jesus, and stop running so fast after the things of this world. Make an appointment every day to be in your presence. Seek first the kingdom of God and your righteousness, and all of these things will be given unto us. God, help us to remember. So, Lord, here we come as a family. God, we're just asking you to come and to speak to us. Touch our hearts, God.